dying blood bond. I am Holy Ghost taught. I'm redeemed. I've been set free. Oh, I'm blood bond.
Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, near Branson, Missouri. In my book, A Road to Prayer Mountain, which I'm going to deviate from and call A Road to a Glorious Church Fellowship in Collinsville, Oklahoma, in chapter 5, I entitled the chapter 1967, A Very Good Year. It was for Israel, that's for sure. They got back Jerusalem in the Six-Day War. But going back a couple of years, in August 1965, my husband Kent and I moved our four children, ranging in age from 2 to 8, to Collinsville, Oklahoma. That was certainly a move that God had led us to. I still remember the ad I saw in the paper, Stately White House. I needed a stately house. Our family had grown, and we needed a house for our four children and a lawn. And we drove up to this house in Collinsville, still there, 624 South 13th. And the people who brought it from me have done a really good job. And every time I drive by, I think of so many memories because God dealt with me so in that house. I was in a strange state spiritually in 1965. I was going through all the motions. I rarely missed church. I played the piano at the First Baptist Church, taught the junior choir. But I felt a void. A friend from college days called and asked if she could go to church with us. She said she'd never been to church except for funerals. So she came with us during the 1966 Christmas season. She said she wanted to sing in the choir, and I got her into the choir. And as a result, she was born again. I was convicted, because Baptists are taught to lead people to the Lord. I'd never even witnessed to her. One day she phoned me and said, "Do you know what I'm going to do next? I'm going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues." I said, "Oh, no, you're not. That is of the devil." I had nothing to do with bringing her into the kingdom of God, but I felt responsible to keep her straight now. "Well, if it's of the devil," she said, "what is it doing in the Bible?" I said, "I don't know, but let me do some studying on it and I'll let you know." And actually, I was forced into scriptures that I had not spent a lot of time in. We'd read through the Bible, but just kind of glaze over these that talked about tongues. And the reason why I said it was of the devil was our denomination was losing so many people to the charismatic move and being baptized in the Holy Ghost, because Baptists are people of the Word. And when they saw it in the Word, they received. And on our paper, the Baptist Messenger, the monthly paper, it came out with a headline says, "Speaking with tongues is of the devil." So that's just what I told her. That's of the devil. She said, "What's it doing in the Bible then?" I said, "I don't know, but let me do some studying on it and I'll let you know." Mrs. Allie Honeyegger, the local doctor's wife, telephoned at that very time and asked if she could visit me. This was strange. I'd seen her at church, but I didn't really know her. When I answered her knock at my door, there the tall, slender woman stood with a huge Wallensack tape recorder partially supported by her knee. I call them the days B.C., it was even before cassette. You had to have this big, huge recorder. Once inside, she slammed it on my coffee table and got right to the point. "I want to play a tape for you." In this day of technology, you cannot realize. That was a foreign phrase to me. What in the world does it mean, play a tape for you? She put the 7-inch reel tape on, threaded it in, pushed the button, sat back, and the tape started to turn. A man's voice with a strong Texas accent filled the room. It was Kenneth E. Hagin teaching a lesson entitled, "The Father's Care." It had to do with how God loves us as much as he loves Jesus, based on John 17. By the time it ended, I felt like weeping, for the Holy Spirit had been working on me for weeks. I actually was sitting in the floor weeping beside my coffee table. She moved right in for the kill. "Mrs. Brim," Allie said, "don't you think before you convince Mrs. Martin speaking with tongues is of the devil, you should know more about it?" "Yes, I really should," I said, my voice breaking. "Good. Brother Hagen is teaching a seminar on the baptism with the Holy Spirit next week in Tulsa. I'll take you and Pat Martin. Each morning and night for 10 days, Mrs. Honeyager ushered Pat Martin and me to front row seats in a small room where from 150 to 200 people were packed in at Kenneth Hagen Ministries' new headquarters at 1029 North Utica. Brother Hagen and Reverend and Mrs. J.R. Goodwin were spoon-feeding the group from the Word of God on the seminar's subject, the baptism with the Holy Spirit. It was the charismatic move days, and Brother Hagen had had a vision in which the Lord told him denominational people were coming into the fullness of the Spirit, and he should meet them in neutral places. On Friday, convinced from the Word of God, Mrs. Martin and I went to a small room after the morning service, and when Kenneth and Aretha Hagen laid hands on us, we were filled with the Holy Spirit. I received a glorious and vociferous infilling. For days I sang and spoke in tongues. Those April 1967 days seemed so light and bright, the most beautiful spring I'd ever known. Mrs. Martin said, "I don't think it's fair. I believed in this longer than you did, and you received a language, a full language. I just got a few words." I said, "That's because my spirit had been born again for 20 years waiting on the next step, and I had come to it." I called my mother with the good news. It wasn't good to her. She wasn't from the Pentecostal side of the family. I quickly appeased her. "Oh, Mother, it's in the Word. I'll show you when I see you. I'm going to go along with these Pentecostals where they are, right? But I promise you I won't receive any of their error. I won't wash off all my makeup or let my hair grow long and wear it in a bun. And I won't listen to any women preachers." On Sunday afternoon, they brought in a woman preacher, about 75 at the time. She preached with such an anointing that I said, "My, that's one of the best sermons I've ever heard, and she's completely out of order." I reasoned in my mind, "Well, maybe she'll be judged at the judgment seat of Christ on the same level with men preachers who were not so faithful." See, I always was thinking if I preached, I was going to get in trouble at the judgment seat of Christ. 11 years later, at the leading of the Holy Spirit, I was working for Kenneth Hagen Ministries. And the Lord said to me, "Why don't you go back into the archives and listen to what she said?" I was blessed the day I heard her preach, but I didn't know what she said. And here's what she said, that the Lord had revealed to her that he was raising up. She actually said, "Do you know why you're here from the north, the south, the east, and the west?" She said, "It's because the Lord is raising up his end time army. And in this meeting are sitting some of the chiefs of the clan." Therefore, she announced he had released her to relate an open-eyed vision she'd had of his supernatural preparation of the church in the last days to be the glorious church. It was something. But if you'd thought those sitting there were some of the chiefs of the clan, you might have been worried. You might have had prayer for God, maybe thinking his plan didn't work. For we were mostly denominational people, writing in our Bibles for the first time with fear and trembling. For Brother Hagen had said when he told us to underline scriptures, "If you can't write in your Bible, throw it away and get one you can write in." Kenneth and Gloria Copeland attended those meetings in their worn-out car. This was about the time he offered the title of that car to the Hagen Ministry for Brother Hagen's tapes. There were many other people that I could tell you about who were in that meeting. Kent and I moved to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, soon after those seminars in 1967. I think the Lord had to do that to kind of get me out of my denominational upbringing. And we went to Baton Rouge to a wonderful church. Brother Roy Stockstill had been the pastor of the Second Baptist Church in Baton Rouge, and he'd been baptized the Holy Spirit. He was a good friend of John Osteen, Joel Osteen's father, John Osteen in Houston, Texas. And so he started a church in Baton Rouge. That church grew exponentially. We were there. Oh, they had the best music you ever heard. And worship. Oh, how marvelous it was. There was an organ player. She was straight-faced, looked like she ate a lemon. But when she put her hands on that organ, the glory fell. And people began worshiping and spinning and moving in the Spirit. It was the best ever. I've never seen worship better. And in those 3 years at Brother Roy Stockstill's church, Bethany Baptist, we grew in the Lord. And we were actually cut away from our denominational roots. 3 years later, we moved back to Oklahoma. My husband's job in Baton Rouge was over. And I went to work. I saw an ad in the newspaper. Part-time bookkeeper wanted at 1029 North Utica. And it actually said Spirit-filled. I don't think you could say that now. I said, that's Brother Hagin's place. Kent had, in the meantime, had to go to Pennsylvania. The children would go to school during the day and I would be lonely. So this said 3 afternoons a week. That's about all I wanted. So I went over and got the job as part-time bookkeeper. 3 afternoons a week. One day, through a strange series of events, I was employee number 12. And through a strange series of events, they had hired, Buddy Harrison had been the editor. Brother Hagin had been told to put his teachings in print. And Buddy Harrison had done that. And so he had gotten, the ministry grew so fast, he hired someone else. And that someone else didn't totally agree with Brother Hagin and put out a word of faith without Brother Hagin having an article in it. They fired him immediately. And they said, what shall we do? And Harvey Watson, who'd come down to help us with our books and accounting, said, well, let her do it until you find someone else. That was in 1970, and they never found anyone else. I was the editor of publications. I did those early books of Brother Hagin's, did all the Word of Faith monthly lessons from 1970 until 1980. And during that time in 1970, we went to a charismatic church in Tulsa. And that charismatic church was getting off in some error that was going around in those charismatic days. We had this great charismatic move, but you can know if there's anything great from God, the enemy's going to try to fight it. So in the church we were in, they got into something that was going around at that time called heavy submission. I don't want to go into all the details of it. It was terrible. But we left that church, and we wanted a church to go to. Now, we'd been going to church in Tulsa, but Mrs. Martin called me. Remember the lady that had told me she was going to speak in tongues? She said, Billy, there's a church in our town that you can raise your hands. So Kent and I went the next Sunday to Collinsville, Oklahoma, to the Friends Church, a Quaker church, a nice red brick building, but they didn't have many people, not more than 20 adults. And we walked in that church. They'd had something called a lay witness mission, where some of the people had received the baptism with the Holy Spirit. The pastor was Cooper Beatty. He had not received the baptism yet, and he was very Quaker, but he was a wonderful man, and he wouldn't forbid us from speaking with tongues and worshiping. And I could raise my hands. And I remember the first Sunday I was there lifting my hands. That was a big thing in those days. And feeling and sensing the Spirit of God. That's the church. 19 on North 19th Street is still there. Pastor Lee Morgans and my son and daughter-in-law, Candace and Chip Brim, and Lee's daughter, they're pastoring that church. Perhaps you heard him on the radio not long ago. You can get the books we've talked about this week, I Believe in Visions and The Road to Prayer Mountain, just by calling us at 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. I Believe in Visions by Kenneth Hagin and The Road to Prayer Mountain by Billy Brim. That's me. We'll be back tomorrow to especially talk about what's happened and what's happening in Collinsville.